The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm beside myself with excitement. Mary Coughlin, the hero of Ireland, Ireland's greatest singer ever.
You're always beside yourself. Am I supposed to listen?
Put your earphones on, Jesus. If you like. They just played I Want to Be Seduced.
That's just a little bit too close now, Luke.
It's a bit too close. But Mary, thanks ever so much for giving me a dig out, because I'm an amateur at this game, as you know, when you've come in as my guest.
I'm turning the earphones off.
Turn them off, yeah. Exactly.
I'm not turning them off, they're just thrown there.
Now, okay. You're on your way to make podcasts, you were telling me.
Yeah, myself and Alton Conlon decided to do a podcast, because we kind of collaborate on songwriting and stuff. And one day we were walking down the town in Athlone, and I said, you never beckon listen to me, Alton, because you didn't hear a word that I had said in the previous. And he said, that would be a great name for a podcast, wouldn't it? And the next minute we were doing podcasts.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, you're doing too. I listen to yours.
Girl,
yeah.
I do.
But I thought yours was going to be more about science. It's more about music.
Oh, it's a mix. As you know.
The ones you sent me the links to were musical.
Are they musical ones? Yes. Well, we should reveal we've done gigs. I hate this. We've done gigs together.
We've done gigs together. Remarkable. God help us.
In nursing homes and lunatic asylums. They were the two.
Well, I call them lunatic asylums. That's not the, because not the, I was the in right one. Word, so I'm an ex lunatic asylum.
Resident, so I can
call them that. But
we should give Gerry Peregrine a shout out, shouldn't we?
Gerald Peregrine and Dermot Dunn and
whole gang of us, wasn't there? And it was in the pandemic, and Gerry managed to get money from the HSE, and he said, Linda, the fiddle player, can't forget Linda. And it was a fantastic thing. We were outside nursing homes singing, weren't we?
Yeah, I think Gerald got kind of down in the dumps, as we all did during the beginning of COVID, because he missed playing the cello, because you would play every day, you know. And he went down to a nursing home. I think a relation might have been in there in Stillorgan or someplace. So he went down to the nursing home and he sat out in the garden and he started playing the cello. Yeah. And the next minute we were all doing gigs.
We were.
And how many nursing homes have we been in?
Loads.
I've been in hundreds. Well, he's been in over about 1,500.
Well, it was a thrill for me to be asked. And next thing I'm with you and I'm playing Ride On with Mary Coughlin.
The other song
outside
you used to do, the song we used to do?
Something Stupid. Didn't we?
We did Something Stupid.
And What a Wonderful World.
What a Wonderful World. And Love. It Must Be Love.
It Must Be Love. Love. Yeah, that's right. Yes, it was.
Now,
it was.
I was going to do that on my new album.
I remember you said to me. Yes, yeah, I could have guessed it. Now, Mary, let me bring you right back.
Right back.
What was the very first record you bought with your own money? Do you remember? And where did you buy it?
It's not a small story. So there was a summer and there was the Galway Races and I had a boyfriend and he was working in the owners and trainers bar at the Galway Races, right? And so this would have been the first albums I bought, okay? And he was running over and back to put bets on. And he looked down on the ground one day and he saw £100.
Good Lord.
I'm talking about when I was 15, I'm 68 now, so that's like millions.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, what am I going to do with this? So he changed it for 250s. And then he changed it. And there was another guy, can I say his name? Mike Small and Declan Silk.
Yeah.
So Declan put the money in his shoe.
Right.
And it disappeared, obviously running around the bar all day.
He lost it.
Yeah. Well, it just crumbled, you know. And Mike Small and I was just a beneficiary of some of the money. I went up to Paul's, the Four Corners. I bought John Mayall's Blues Breakers.
Right.
And the soundtrack to Easy Rider.
Oh, wow.
Because I'd never been able to buy an album before.
Yes.
I didn't have the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we did buy singles.
Right.
I'd Rather Go Blind from the...
Did
I
you?
Got it free.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Free of charge. Right. Because I used to go out there and listen to it and cry.
Right.
And one day, John, the guy who was the manager there, he just opened up the jukebox door. Everybody who's ever seen a gig knows the story. And he said, just get the F out of here. He said, I'm sick and looking at you, crying away to a jukebox. So he gave me Christine Perfect, I'd Rather Go Blind, Chicken Jack version.
Ah, very good.
So I came by the first record. And But I lived next door to my grandmother and my mother's brothers had... Every Beatle and every Elvis record that was ever made.
Right, so you had a whole stash of music to play.
Yeah, I had a great old...
And was it always the blues, right, jazz, blues type genre?
You know, my mother used to listen to Guy Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And never get more by singing the blues and all
great
that.
Number,
and no, it wasn't always the blues.
No.
The blues started... Well, I suppose that kind of music.
Yeah.
It was American.
American anyway. American. Wasn't it? Yeah.
You know,
what was it like in Galway in those 1970s days? Your memory of it. Now, I know you were an activist, as you still are, of course, but you were.
That was later on, but I mean, yeah. I grew up really through the 60s in Galway. Yeah. I was born in 56, so 66. Yeah. From 66 till 1972. The 60s came to Ireland.
Yeah, they arrived
really. Came
last.
To Galway. Yes. Came west.
Hippies.
I used to wear long skirts. I used to embroider flowers on the bottom of my skirts.
Did you have a tie-dye t-shirt?
A tie-dye t-shirt. Yep. And we used to walk around. We spent all our time making clothes, tie-dye t-shirts, listening to music, swapping comics, swapping girl magazines. And if you had an album, if you were lucky enough to have an album, you'd go to someone's house, a gang of you.
A gang, yeah.
And we used to write down the words. I remember when Blonde on Blonde came out. What's it about?
Yeah.
You know, what's this? What is he talking about?
These we should have copy books.
Yeah. And we used to write down the words and we should discuss them. I mean, we were geeks, you know.
Yeah,
but we only ever had enough money. So, and another girl, Mary McSpadden, bought a Jethro Tull album once. And we bopped off school for a couple of days.
God, it's
and
a
got
far
great
cry.
Mileage out of that. Huh?
It's a far cry from trad, is it? I mean, the trad was massive, obviously, at the time.
The trad
as well,
was
with
everywhere
Planksty
in Galway,
and the Bocky band.
And I loved Dolores Keane's singing because she had that. Yeah. I mean, Irish music is like blues, you know. It's heart, soul music, you know.
It is.
In many ways, I think.
Shan knows.
The Shan knows.
Did you ever try that?
I do. I started singing, believe it or not, around the pubs in Galway in unaccompanied Irish songs. Yeah,
fantastic. Now I've got to talk about the Tired and Emotional album because
heartier.
I was living in London and I bought it.
Oh, you were alive.
I was alive. Oh. I was. I bought it. I'll never forget it because great pride, an Irish singer, and it was a huge hit all around the place. But I want to ask you about the Mean Fiddler because. My memory is, I used to go there as an expat, and you came on. Little did I think 40 years later I'd be interviewing you on Irish radio.
You know what, that's mad,
you got on the stage, the lights, it was packed to the all these ex-Irish paddies basically in the audience. We were going mad for the whole thing, and you sang right on, I'll never forget it. You know? What's your memory of that era?
The Mean Fiddler.
Yeah.
Dennis Desmond used to manage me at the time, and the thought of going to England to do a gig. Well, the thought of getting to the Baggot Inn was my thing, you know, if I ever got to the Baggot Inn, because Moving Hearts played there and Christy Moore, well, then I had it made, you know. Yeah. But going to London and I sold out the Mean Fiddler twice a year, every year for six nights.
Incredible.
For many years. Yeah. And in 1989, I did seven nights in the Mean Fiddler. I did two nights in Sadler's Wells. I did two nights in the Dominion in Tottenham Court Road.
Wow.
And I did seven nights in Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah, didn't you?
In 1 year.
Now, when I opened by saying you're the most famous jazz singer in Ireland, you were giving praise in Ronnie Scott's, weren't you? Remind me of that. Was it Ronnie himself? Someone came up to you and said,
I don't think at that stage anyone had been from Ireland. Louis Stewart had certainly been, but I did seven nights in Ronnie Scott's, and you know, I'd never heard of Ronnie Scott's. I didn't know how important it was, you know, in the whole
as
thing.
A venue. Yeah.
And but there were so many people. I sound like I'm blowing my own trumpet.
No, go on, blow away. The Olympians are doing it. The Olympians
appealed to so many different people across, you know, many different types of people. There was the Ronnie Scott's crowd. There was the Sadler's. Sadler's Wells. Like,
amazing.
Give me a break. From Shankland to Sadler's Wells.
I know, it's superb.
And then the Mean Fiddler was mad. And then we decided after many years that we had to do a live album in the Mean Fiddler. And Eric came over and we did it. Completely different thing for a live album. We decided to do all new material that I had never recorded.
Yeah.
A bit risky. And Mary was still drinking, so it was extremely risky.
It was risky.
So they locked me into the dressing room. They put a security guard on the door outside and I climbed out the window and down to the... I knew where there was an off licence.
Okay, did not. Were you the original brat? We're all talking about
brought a
brat
half
summer.
A bottle of tequila and I knew they'd take it off me.
Right.
So... I drank it on the way back to the venue.
Good God, yeah.
And
God.
Anyway.
Looking back on it,
yeah. I know.
Yeah. And you've also sold out the Sydney Opera House, I read.
Yeah.
My researcher gave me the notes.
That was a good one.
What was the story there? So you're very big in Australia, I've heard. And a good friend of mine, Paul Hartzog, went to see you and all that. So why do the Australians love you?
I don't know. And I remember asking the woman at the box office, I said, are these all new people that are coming here, like different, you know, just Irish people. And she said, it's about 80% of our usual crowd.
All right, yeah. So, just shows you, doesn't it?
But I think the reason I did the Opera House, well, I know the reason I did the Opera House in the first place, I'd been called to do some arts festivals in New Zealand, and they quite often do exchanges with artists. That,
right.
You know, but I do, I've been doing, I did 28 gigs in Australia in 2023.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
And they were all thankfully sold out. We even had to do three nights in Sydney instead of one.
Yeah.
And
and you did the famous Port Fairy Music Festival. Festival
was just which my mate
Paul goes
it
to.
Was unreal.
That's meant to be spectacularly interesting as a music.
Spectacularly interesting. But I had a great experience there. There's a Sunday morning session. They ask all the artists to get up and share the stage. It's kind of like going to mass or something.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
As a big, everybody gets up really early, and you got, and I sang the Magdalene Laundry, and there were a number of women there, and when I left the stage, it was very moving, and you're sitting there like with Niamh Regan was there actually on stage that year, from artists all over the world, and they've all heard of Magdalene Laundries. When I started singing it in 1986, nobody had, you know. Really. And these women came to the side of the stage afterwards and they told me that they'd come in the hope that I would sing it and that they'd all experienced similar situations in Australia and in different
So there homes. Was similar stuff going on there, was there? Maybe not as severe as here.
Sound engineer in the Opera House told me he told me about the stolen children.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So,
you didn't expect that necessarily.
I didn't, no.
Now you've mentioned, can I ask you about your partner? Now you mentioned he was John Kelly.
met John.
20 years. He gave me a lift to one of the gigs and he was lovely fella to chat to.
Well, he had to collect you because you don't drive.
That's right, I don't drive.
And
he made me a cup of tea in your house and everything. But tell us.
And then he brought you to one of the nursing homes.
He did, yeah. Now tell us. Go on. 20 years, isn't it wonderful? Can you give our listeners any advice on relationships?
Yes, he spent 6 months a year in New Zealand.
That's the secret, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I suppose I married one time for 6 years.
Yeah.
The second time I was married was for about 7 weeks. But I had two children. We were only married for about 7 weeks.
Yeah.
But we had a relationship for 11 years.
Right.
And then, John, but he's from New Zealand and he does his concert.
His own business, hasn't he? Yes, yeah. Right. But I love the story when you met him. Go on, tell our listeners.
Why?
Go on, it's a great story.
Stop. I was going down to New Zealand to do that arts festival, the first one. A very strange story. My mother died and my mother had a brother in New Zealand and she always wanted to go there.
Right.
And she never got there. And he was 56 years in New Zealand. And the night my mother was buried, I decided to drive home from Galway. And when I got home, there was a fax on the kitchen table inviting me to the New Zealand International Arts Festival the following March, April.
Right.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
The night Mammy went into the
Amazing. Grave. Yeah. Right.
And I went down there and I was rehearsing in a place called the Great Hall in the Arts Centre with the band. And this guy came up to me. Is that the story you're talking about? And he had his hands in his pocket and he had long hair and he walked up and he says, I'm the lighting guy. He said, what do you like for lights? I said, I don't give a fuck about lights. He said, that's your job. And he turned around and he looked like as if somebody had punched the daylights out of him. And then I felt really bad.
An inauspicious start, Mary, to a 20-year relationship.
Yeah.
But obviously
and I
something
saw him
connected.
Walking back and he's cute.
Right, very cute.
He's very cute. I just come out of a 7-week marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, what can I say?
Timing. Now we're going to
timing
finish.
Is everything.
It is everything. Now we're going to have to finish up, sadly. Time flew by, but we've got to mention More Like Bridget.
I was staying here for longer.
I wish you were. We could talk for a long
time.
Can
I come in again?
Of course you can. Okay. Love to you. More Like Bridget. Tell us a little bit about that and then we're going to play
Bridget. Yeah, everyone's banging on about Bridget this weather, you know. And I mean, St. Bridget, they call her St. Bridget, but she was long in Ireland before Christianity came, and she was a bit of an old witch, you know.
She was a shaman like herself.
Yeah, and so I always talk. I've done a few Bridget's festivals, and we did one in London last year and the year before. And Pete Lannister, who is the producer, and I work with, he said, "Who's this Bridget?"
Yeah,
that you keep talking about, you know. And he said, let's do it. And I told him all the stories I knew about her. So we wrote that song literally in 10 minutes.
Fantastic.
And there it is out. The album will be out on the first weekend of
October.
Very
important new album coming out. You've got a show coming up with Peggy Lee. Is that all there is?
That's next year.
We're going to wrap on that, Marianne. Thank you.
No, my new album's called Repeat Rewinds. That's my
own
album. Repeat Rewinds,
your own album.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
And then the Peggy Lee thing will happen in the Abbey next year.
Right, fantastic. Mary, thanks ever so much for coming in. And we're going to play out now with More Like Bridget by the one and only Mary Coughlan.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.